Turn, if you will, tonight in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to tell you two verses of Scripture, chapter 1, 13 and 14. Now, I pray tonight that everybody in here is saved. You've been born again. And I hope you know that. In verse 13, it says, "In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that we have assurance of our salvation. And Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that each one here is saved, born again. But Lord, many of them here tonight may not have that assurance. And Lord, to be an effective Christian witness, we need assurance in our life. And we ask you tonight through this scripture that we study that you will give us that assurance. And we give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. We talked about in our Sunday school this morning some things that people ask us. And one of the things was, did Adam have a belly button? That's silly, isn't it? Well, doesn't make a hill of beans a difference. God created him. And, you know, there's a lot of things in the Bible we may not know, but one thing we can know is that we have salvation, and that's a guarantee. And if you're here tonight and you've been saved and you don't know that you're going to heaven, more than likely you don't have salvation if you don't know that. D.L. Moody said in his book, he had never seen a great soul winner for Christ, a great evangelistic Christian, effective in Christian ministry, doing the things of God without the assurance of his or her salvation. I'm recall a story I've told here many times about the little boy who was walking down the road, and a man stopped along the way and said, "Son, do you know where such and such road is?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "Well, you know where this road leads?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "Do you know if the town, call the name of the town, is down this road?" He said, "I don't know." The man's kind of disgusted and said, "Son, is there anything you know?" And he said, "I know I ain't lost." Well, you know, you may not know a whole lot of things about the Bible, but if you know you're not lost, if you know that when you die you're going to heaven, and that is one of the most important things I believe you can have in your heart, to know beyond any doubt that you are saved, you've been born again. When you die, we're all going to die, that you'll go to heaven. You have that assurance in your life. That's one of the most important things that you can know if you're going to be an effective Christian witness. You see, it's hard to win somebody to Christ if you're not sure about Christ in your own life. If it's hard to win somebody, tell them about heaven if you're not sure you're going there. I want to know. And I believe the passage of Scripture right here in 13 plainly teaches us what it means to be saved tonight. When someone says, "I've been saved," what does that mean? People talk about all the time being saved. A lot of people, like Cynthia said, rescued. Well, rescued from what? Saved from what? They talk about, well, I was saved, but I don't know if I'm going to heaven when I die. They actually think that they have lost their salvation in some way or the other. And that is sad if you believe that God who saves you can lose you. See, before you can lose something, you've got to have it. And a lot of people that fall away, someone said, well, I knew so-and-so. They went to church, and they were doing this and that, and they fall out of church, and they don't ever go to church. They, I've lost interest in God and all of that. And my question to them, did they ever have Christ in their life? You see, they may not have lost their salvation. They may have never had salvation. Jesus says, many will say unto me in that day, we did this and we did that. And he said, depart from me, I never knew you. You see, they'd went to church. They'd followed his teachings. They had preached. They'd won people maybe to Christ, but they never knew. He never knew them. Not, I knew you once, and I don't know you anymore. He said, I never knew you at all. And I want us to look tonight, for some of us here tonight, I see the back row is full of youth back here, and that's great. I thank you for it. I remember when I was their age, I didn't know if I was saved or not. Boy, that's a terrible feeling, to go to church and listen to the preacher and talk about salvation. And well, I went down to the front once upon a time. I was baptized, but to not have that assurance that, you know, I know that I got saved, and this is the date that I got saved. This is the time in my life that I remember that God spoke to my heart and I was saved. Not to know that and not to have that assurance in their life. Now, many of you I know that I have come down and have been baptized in these waters here. Since I've been here, I've known you, I've watched you grow up, and I know that you're saved, but I know that you made that profession of faith, but, you know, is your life guaranteed? Is your surety guaranteed? Let's look at salvation. How were you saved? Well, when I say, how were you saved, a lot of people say, well, we're saved by faith. Okay, I said faith. Faith in what? Well, faith in God is usually the answer. Yes, but how were you saved? Well, the Bible says here, look what it says. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. Now, you're saved by how? Hearing the word of truth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now think back with me just a moment. Before you can be saved, what does it say? You've got to hear the word of truth. In the Bible, Jesus talks about hearing with the ears, hearing with the heart, the eyes of understanding the spiritual things of God. Now, how do you do that? Well, you hear by the word of God. Many in Christ today have heard him speak to their heart. Now, when God speaks to you, you know it. Now, in 1979, I was on a plane to Denver, Colorado. Never will forget that. Left here in Texas, it was 80-something degrees, and in January, we were in short-sleeved shirts, and we arrived in Denver, Colorado, -1 degree. Boy, they was having a cold spell. We got off that plane, and it was cold. And I thought, you know, well, it's too cold to be up here. But, you know, we wasn't stopping long in Denver. We were just changing planes. We were flying to Fargo, North Dakota. And Fargo, North Dakota is cold in January the 16th. -25 degrees there. So really, we left a heat wave in Denver and flew to the cold spell. When you're in cold that way, your breath freezes instantly on the glass around you. You can wear all the clothes you want to inside, turn the heater wide open, and it still freezes on the inside. I don't see how those people live up there. But that's another story. On the way in that plane, I was sitting by the window. I like to sit by the window so I can look out. Can't see nothing in the clouds and snow, but I saw a jet fly by, and I said, I wonder how many more of them things are up there. It was close. But as I was flying along there, I was peering out of that window thinking, what do you want, God? Because God was speaking to my heart, not in an audible voice, but in that still small word we find in the Word of God. He was speaking and he was trying to get through to me about some things in my life, and I was trying to listen, but I just wasn't connecting all the dots, so to speak. And these things kept coming through my mind, and my salvation and all of that. When I made that decision of faith by hearing the Word of God, and I recall, God, I know that I heard that evangelist speak to my heart that morning through the Word of God, just like it says here, faith come by hearing the Word of truth. I know he spoke the gospel. I know that with all my heart. So God, I know I heard, and I know I came down just like you asked, and I know I was saved because that moment has never left me. I did it not because someone else did it. I did it because you were speaking to my heart that week. So there's something else you must be trying to tell me, Lord. And I kept listening to God, and I just kept praying over and over, like Teddy said, recalling the words that I knew in the gospel. We landed in Fargo, North Dakota, and I don't even remember the coldness that much. I remember getting into that car, and the whole time we was in the car, it was like I was the only one there, and God was speaking to me still. I wasn't my old self, because everything about me was cutting up, making jokes, and pulling pranks on everybody else, and that's just the kind of person I was. And, you know, the preacher was with us that day, and it wasn't because he was bigger than I was or anything, but I was supposed to room with him that week, and I was just going to ask him some questions as we drove to Fargo, North Dakota. We stopped at this hotel for the night, and we got out, and we went up to the room, and I was still thinking about the Bible, and I was listening to God speak to my heart, that innermost being. Everything around was out. I don't know what they call it. They call it when they play baseball, or you were focused. Well, I was so focused, I didn't know anybody else was around, really. And I never will forget, as we sat there, it was 9 o'clock at night, Jim Boone said, Booney, what in the world is wrong? I said, oh, nothing's wrong. What do you mean? So he said, you hadn't been the same since you got on the plane in Dallas. What are you doing? And I just openly said, you know, I really don't know. I said, all day long, as I've looked out the window, all day long as we've drove, there's that still small voice trying to tell me something. And I recall my salvation over and over, and I know that I'm not lost. And he said, well, I hope you're not lost. You've been working for God for quite a while now. You made that decision in 1975. What else is bothering you? And I said, Jim, I'm just not happy. I'm just not happy at doing what I used to do. And that was the first hint that God wanted to do something else in my life. And you know, he said, have you ever thought about surrendering your life to God? I said, I think I already have. And it was like that still small voice said, no, you haven't completely, because this is what I want you to do. And I never will forget kneeling down beside the bed and praying and saying, Lord, you know, I don't know what you want me to do, but here I am. I'm yours. I'm a slave to Jesus Christ. I was so scared that God was going to take my life and dump my life in a foreign country. I was so scared that God was going to dump me in Fargo, North Dakota. That would have been a foreign country. If y'all are from up there, I'm sorry for you. I said, Lord, I'd do anything, but don't put me here. And then, you know what? A funny thing about that, the next night we preached in Wampington, I never will forget, Wampington, Minnesota. And they had a church that needed a pastor. And I said, no. I don't even want to go to church that night. I don't want to see that church. But I did. I went and I said, Lord, if you want me here, I'll be here. Funny thing about it, he didn't even give me peace about that. We went on. But, you know, that's hearing the Word of God. He stirs that innermost heart where if you will listen, you won't get peace about it until you do what he asks, does what he asks you to do. You see? And you know it. You sense that what is being said is from the Lord through his Word. You know, I studied the Word. Forgot to put my tie in here. You just sense that what's being said is in the Word of God comes leaping out of those pages and touches your heart. And let me tell you, the Bible says no one can be saved apart of the Word of God. You just can't be saved anytime you want to. You can't be saved unless you hear the Word of truth. And that's why it's so important as Christians to know the Word. Hide it in your heart, like Teddy said. Sing it in a song. But you ought to be able, like we said this morning in our Sunday school class, be able to give an account of any what you believe to anyone as they come your way. We must preach the Word and share and testify the Word of God everywhere we go, folks. And that's how you know you hear the Word. It speaks to your heart. And you know, here, my Lord, my life is undone. My life is lost. My life is being called to preach. Whatever God wants to do in your life. He says, but first you must hear the Word. Okay? Then the second thing is you hear the Word of God, the gospel of your salvation, in whom having believed. Now, that word believe, it means comprehend what you've heard, okay? That's comprehending what you've heard, that it was from God. You believed, and you not only heard the Word of God, you responded by believing that truth. I never will forget that night. I said, okay, I've heard the Word of God. I know the Word of God. He says, surrender your life to you. Whatever he does, I'm his. And I believe the Word of God. I just believe God could do anything in my life that he wanted to. Okay? And I believed that. And when I got up that night from on the knees by that bed, it was like, man, that peace of God just ruled. No more was I sitting there in a daze. No more was I staring out windows thinking, what do you want me to do, God? I knew beyond a doubt that I had surrendered. I said, whatever, God, you want me to do, speak to my heart about it, and I'll do it. And it was like the burden lifted, and I was the same old cut-up that I always was the rest of the trip. Man, it was just amazing what happens when you believe the Word of truth, you apply it to your life. The Bible says, neither is there salvation any other. No one can be saved apart from belief and trust in the Word of God. So tonight, if you have put your faith in the Word of God, you believe the Word of God in your life, you can have that assurance of salvation in your life. So you must hear the Word of God, and you must believe the Word of God. Now, believe is more than intellectual knowledge. Understand that. If you're here tonight and you're one of these people that said, well, I believe the Word of God, how many times have I asked somebody, have you trusted your life to God? Well, I believe God. I believe there's a God. So why ain't I going to heaven? Well, that's an intellectual knowledge. Did you know that if you ask across this country, almost everybody believes in God? Everybody. But the word here means more than that. You trust, you commit your life to God. You rely on God. You trust God. Let me tell you something. I was pretty scared. I never will forget that. I was pretty nervous. You know, I had two newborn babes, I guess. Eric was about 2 and a half. Eric was three. I don't even know how old they are. Zach was one. That's pretty scary, amen? Let me tell you something. If you're a young person and you've got, I was 29, you've got a three-year-old and you've got a one-year-old and you've got a wife and you've got a house payment and you've got car payments, and God says, I want you to quit your job. I want to turn your life around. I want you to go back to school. That's pretty scary, because you know what? You go from an income to no income. I said, Lord, whatever you want, I'll do it. Man, that's tough. But I believed. I trusted. I relied on. Jim Boone said, you got to get out there on that limb so that you're alone, just you and God. And if he doesn't come through for you, then man, you're done for. And you know what? I staked my eternity that day on Jesus Christ. I believed that Jesus Christ would do what he said he would do. Now, folks, that is how you believe, how you trust, how you rely on. You know what? If Jesus Christ doesn't do what he says he'll do, then I'm done for. And I got news for you. If Jesus Christ doesn't do what he said you'll do, then you're done for also. You see? It all depends upon Jesus Christ. I had no part in it. I just heard the word of truth, and I believed the word of truth. I heard the gospel. I believed the gospel, and I committed myself to the gospel. Now, I'm using myself as an example because I don't know your life. But if something like that ever happened to you in the salvation experience, it's the same way whether you're called a preacher, whether you're saved. I went through the same experience in 1975. In Jesus Christ, trusting him. I didn't know how I was going to do it. I didn't know what I was going to do. I just knew that I had to do something or I would be lost for eternity. You see, I heard the gospel. I realized it's the gospel. I said, Lord, I want to commit myself to you. Somebody says about this. Someone said, the Father planned salvation, the Son provided salvation, and the Holy Spirit pledges salvation. In other words, I've got a little book, Guy King, in my office. He says it this way: God thought it, Jesus bought it, and the Holy Spirit wrought it. Praise God, I caught it. Amen. Now, in chapter 4, look over at chapter 4, verse 30. I love Ephesians because it gives you the surety. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now, isn't that an interesting point there? Verse 30 says, we are sealed until the day, when? Of redemption. When you say you're sealed, now, that means a lot of things to different people. But here's what it means. The Bible talks about a stamp of God's approval upon your salvation. A guarantee. When a document is sealed, it means it's the original one. It's got the stamp on it. Every time we do business around here, we have to have a notary and they put their stamp on it. Well, that just says, you know, it's the original. It's been done. You were sealed. It's the official seal of God. That is, the Holy Spirit of God is in your life, and it's God's commitment to you until the day of redemption. It doesn't say until you sin again. It says, until the day of redemption, you will stand in God's presence and you'll be His. Now that seal is evidence of a finished transaction. It is the guarantee, the Bible says, the earnest of our salvation, the earnest of our inheritance. That earnest simply means, a lot of you know what earnest means, it means a down payment. You see, when you go in there and you want to buy something, you put a down payment on it, it's saying like, okay, I've made a down payment on it, I will come back and complete the transaction. And if I don't come back and complete the transaction, you can have it. Well, salvation comes to you and it's agreed upon by God and you. You see, when God saves you, you agree with God that one, what? I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm a sinner. I am lost. I cannot save myself. You know, when I was saved, I realized that that song said it wonderfully. I was rescued. I was lost. I was hopeless. I could do nothing. In my own righteousness, I was as filthy rags. You know, my life was going nowhere, and I couldn't save myself. But God, that's a whole lot right there. But God, in His mercy, touched my life. And I agreed with Him that He paid the price for me. He paid the down payment. You see, the Bible says God is holy. We sang about that this morning. I just love those songs. Holy, holy, holy is our Lord God Almighty. He is holy and He is just. And what He says He will do, He will do. And God says, listen, the only way we can be saved is through His Son, Jesus Christ. And He says this, apart from the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So the only way you can come to Jesus Christ is through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no other way. You can't make it in your own righteousness. You can't make it by getting a hold of your own spirit. That is all silliness and foolishness. And you need to look into the Word of God and see what the Word of God says. And listen, it tells you right here that the blood of Jesus has paid our price until the day of redemption, that He comes and purchases us for His own, or comes and gets us for His own. Ephesians 1:7 says, in Him, who is that? Jesus Christ. We have redemption, that means we've been bought back, through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. You know what? When Christ, I trusted Christ that morning, I believe it was morning, maybe night. You know, I can't remember daylight or dark, but I know it was on in the Eastside Baptist Church in Rusk. Boy, I never will forget that. On the fourth row on the left-hand side coming down. Man. Forgiveness of sin. You know what? My life was in shambles. And God forgave me of all the sins that I committed, past, present, and the ones I'll commit in the future. Every sin is forgiven. The price has been paid. You see? Who paid it? Jesus Christ. Isaiah, I love Isaiah. He says this, come without money and without price. That means you don't have to have money. You don't need money. Money will not get you into heaven. I know some people that say, man, I can buy my way wherever I want to go. Well, you can't get to heaven with it. Jesus says about the Great Supper, I preached on that not long ago. He says, all things have now been made ready. The price has been paid. The supper is there. The banquet's for you. And friends, we have the greatest product in the world at salvation. Jesus says, I came, I paid the price. You have it in your life, praise God. Why don't you share it with other people, you see? That young man this morning had silly excuses. Man, I felt so sorry for him. But there's nothing I can do. You can only tell the word. And you know, we have to rely on the Holy Spirit working in someone's life. And we make silly excuses all the time why we're not going to witness or why we're not going to accept Jesus Christ. But God says, I paid the price for you, and if you will put your faith in me, if you will trust in me, then I will give you eternal life. And friends, we have that if we'll just trust Jesus Christ. And the seal also stands for something else. It stands for ownership. You know, when you have the seal of the Holy Spirit in your life, you are His. And like I said a while ago, Paul says, I am a slave to Jesus. What is a slave? A slave that is someone that belongs to someone else. You're Christ's possession. He paid for my life with His blood. And you know what? A slave is not only belong to someone. We belong to Jesus Christ if we're a slave to Christ. You're also His responsibility. God is responsible for me. He loves me. He's going to take care of me. You know, that seal means He put His stamp of approval upon me. I am His, and He's mine. You know, I like Westerns. I like Westerns. And I like it when they go into a town and they see a horse with somebody else's brand on it. What does that brand mean? It means that, you know, you belong to somebody else. That horse belongs to somebody else. Or he can say, that brand is mine. That belongs to me. Well, God loves us, and He brands us with His Holy Spirit. He seals us with His Holy Spirit. You know, in 1975, when I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life, He sealed me right there. The moment I trusted Him by faith, He put His Spirit in me, and the Spirit of God's been in me all this time. He's been keeping me. He's been watching over me. He's been growing me. You see, that's what He does. He convicts me when I do wrong. Yes, He convicts me. He's there saying, no, you shouldn't have done that. How do I know? Because I grieve the Holy Spirit, like I said a while ago. And that grieving, He lets me know about it. And I feel bad about it until I get on my knees and I confess it to the Lord. And He picks me up and sets me back on the right path and we go again. You see, I am His and He's mine. And He sees that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and He sees that in our life, and He says, you know, He's got my brand on Him. He's mine. When the devil went before God and said, what about old Job down there? Job said, he's mine. He's sold out to me. The devil said, oh, he's just sold out to you because you've given him everything. And you know what? God said, okay, I tell you what. You can go down there and you can take everything away from him. But you can't take his life. Because that belongs to me. He took everything from Job. You know the story? He took everything he had. So he was in a pile of ashes scraping the sores from his body. And everybody was being used by the devil, I think. And said, Job, his own wife, said, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? He said, I'm not going to curse God and die. You know, he was sold out to God. He had God's brand on him. And when God looks down from heaven, what brand does he see on you tonight? Where's your heart tonight? Is it in Christ? Do you have that assurance of salvation? Has that ever happened to your life? That seal of authority that you are God's. I wear the seal of the Holy Spirit, the mark of God's authority in my life. Authority? What do you have authority? I have authority over the devil. He can't take my life, man. I belong to God. Over sin. Man, when sin tempts me, I have the authority to call upon God. You see, pray to God the Bible says at the name of Jesus, he has to flee. Over sickness, over sorrow. Oh, I have sickness, man. But let me tell you something. Even in my sickness, I know that God is ruling in my life. You see? There's been a lot of close calls in my life because I've had a lot of close calls. But you know what? I've never worried about salvation because I know that I heard the word. I believed the word. And the Spirit of God of promise is my guarantee of my inheritance until God calls me home.